in this match.
If it's a war, you can say whatever you want.
I thought it was a cult. I didn't know what was going on.
The Fed did. I think New York did.
One of your executive vice presidents loves that company.
It's the first ever finishing move that's exclusive to a promotion.
Advantage.
Welcome to a very special Friday edition of Champions Advantage. We are here to talk all things WrestleMania week now that it has come and gone. And yeah, if you don't like WWE, this isn't the show for you because it's pretty much all we're going to be talking about this week. So maybe...
Because we know you like WWE because everybody watches it. Because we're talking about ratings.
Well... I just think nobody watches wrestling anymore.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? It's really sad.
Rotted 2.026 million people, and it's a gigantic victory.
Yeah, it is, but that's a whole different situation. But I still don't get those numbers, because it still just dominates everything else.
Well, I mean, the fair counterpoint is all of TV's dying, which is definitely a fair counterpoint.
But... Like, news is down 50%. Like, the news didn't get 50% worse. Well.
Ty, you sure about that one? You sure about that one?
Well, there hasn't been particularly great news the last year, so I get it.
But pro wrestling is definitely an interesting case because, in specifically WWE, their ratings are down more than the average, so there's definitely something to it. But
something going on, but we're not here to talk about ratings, but we will later, as we talk about NXT's first trip to Tuesdays, and mainly a whole Mania Week review. You're going to give us a recount because you were there.
Yeah, and you're going to tell me how it was on TV because I did not watch a second of it yet.
All right, it's worth the rewatch, so we'll talk about it then. See you guys in a minute.
So we will start with NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, the only TakeOver that is too big for one night.
Too big for one building, too. Is it all in the same building?
It's all in the same building.
All in the same building? Yeah. I tried to make a joke there. I knew it was the same building, but I just didn't
know. Could have said too big for one network.
Too big for one network. There we go.
There we go.
One on USA, one on the cock.
Yeah.
Right on the cock.
Well, technically, they're both on the cock. But one was also on USA.
It's all NBC Universal.
Yeah. It's all Comcast.
Goddamn. Xfinity. Is it even called Comcast anymore?
I'm not sure.
Or is it just simply Xfinity?
It might simply just
be Xfinity. I think Xfinity is everything cable. Like Ford's or like Dodge's truck division is now just simply Ram.
Yeah. Right.
Which the beautiful trucks, by the way, cannot recommend them enough.
I'm not a truck guy, so.
I'm not either, but I've not, but
the only truck I'd ever buy is a Ford Raptor.
My uncle just bought one for himself as a retirement present, and that thing is absolutely gorgeous.
I would 1,000% own a Ford Raptor, but other than that,
they're disgusting.
Other than that, I'm not a truck guy.
I've driven one.
Really?
Yes.
It's pretty badass.
I'll tell you how I've driven one off air.
Oh, boy, juicy. But anyway, shall we start with night one of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver? The pre-show match was Toni Storm taking on Zoe Stark. I'm going to assume you didn't watch it.
I did not.
Okay. It was a decent match.
I had another late night starting to happen, so.
Zoe Stark looked impressive as always. A lot of people are mad that Toni Storm kind of took the loss here, and I get the argument. It seems like they turned her heel for War Games, and they had the one triple threat women's title match that kind of disappointed, and they haven't really done anything else since. But, I mean... I guess the only negative of the NXT Women's Division, which we'll get into that more when we talk about the Tuesday NXT show, is there's going to be some people that are left on the sidelines at times. Like, we got a wild Mercedes Martinez popping back up, and we legit hadn't seen her since TakeOver. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of the negative to having that division, but...
Well, it all ends to what has to happen again.
I think Zoe Stark needed a win, though, because...
I absolutely do. It's not going to hurt Tony to lose.
She had been in, like, a bunch of really good matches... But she kept taking losses, and I hate that gear.
I'm sorry. I saw the butcher was dressed like a French pastry maker, and I laughed forever.
But
Zoe needed the win.
Yeah,
so. more than the loss was gonna hurt Tony. No, you're Tony, but
she's also Tony.
She's also Tony with an I.
She is, which is much cooler.
Which is much cooler.
Because Y is only sometimes a vowel. I is always a vowel. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And yours intimidates some Catholic or Italian upbringing. Hers doesn't.
Definitely a little bit of both in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, who...
Just had lobster ravioli today, as a matter of fact.
All time. Top shelf Italian meal.
It is. It is. But seafood and pasta are two of my favorite things on earth. So when you combine them...
Yeah, mine too, but I haven't been eating pasta because I'm a fatty.
I had shrimp and grits in Tampa. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I had shrimp and grits in the Grand Floridian in Disney.
Yeah.
The best meal I've ever had in my life.
But these ones were like... This diner, by the way, Ricochet and Bobby Lashley were at this diner. I'm like,
yeah, you wait. Did you were people staring at Bobby?
So it's funny.
Is he massive, by the way?
He is gigantic. So it's funny. Like Ricochet parked in the cut and like sprinted in and sprinted out because I guess he was worried about people recognizing him or whatnot. Bobby Lashley literally sat in the diner and like there are tons of wrestling fans in there. But I don't know if because Bobby Lashley is an intimidating figure.
I'm not saying shit to Bobby Lashley.
Everyone just respects him. But everyone left Bobby Lashley the hell alone. And like he literally walked out to his car. His car was parked right in front of the building. And
what kind of car was it?
It was a Ford Expedition. I'm assuming it was a rent. Obviously.
Yeah, Jesus. Obviously. Come on, Bobby. Upgrade that a little. My God, you're the fucking champion.
But he's with his children, so I assume that's why people were respecting him.
Yeah, you know what?
A couple people did ask for pictures, and he did oblige. So, really nice guy.
He just won the championship. He has to.
Well, he retained. He didn't win.
No one on earth except one magnificent, handsome man.
I'll give you your flowers. We'll get there.
All right, we'll get there in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot longer than 10 minutes, but we're going to be so goddamn good on this podcast, yeah, it'll feel like 10 minutes.
But yeah, Ricochet parked in the cut, literally sprinted by, I was like, oh shit, Ricochet just sprinted by. And also, Aleister Black is alive. We saw him in the parking lot in a suit, looking miserable.
So, it sounds like Aleister Black.
So he is alive.
Aleister Black or CM Punk. That could be one of those two people.
They were wearing a mask, so it could have very well been CM Punk. But he took a wrong turn, and he ended up amongst the marks with his suitcase. I turned to my buddy Leek. I'm like, holy shit, that's Aleister Black.
You know which way
to
catering is?
Dude, literally, the security guy goes, I don't think you're supposed to be here. And he's like, I don't think I am either. But anyway, we'll get into all the mania.
But happenings. So Ricochet pulled what the bar did, and we saw them in New York.
Ricochet, parked around the corner. Like, this man was like, I don't know what he was so worried about. It was also pouring, so that could have been why he was sprinting. But I'd like to imagine he was sprinting because he didn't want to interact with anyone.
I'll never forget that. We crossed the street. This black Tahoe pulled
up. Oh, yeah. The bar just hops out.
And two gigantic men. Like, I cannot tell you how big Sheamus is.
We have run into some of the most random people in public ever. Ron Artest still blows my mind.
That same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Is he Ron Artest again? His name still Meta.
Is he Panda's friend? I know that was he was that at some point.
Oh my God!
I want to say he's Ron Artest again, but I could be. I have not kept up with the legal status of the Artest formerly known as Ron's name.
Yeah, that guy was. Oh, of course he changed it to a combination of all three. It's Meta Santa Ford Artest.
Oh, of course. let's just call him Ron.
I don't know. I feel like he'd kill me if I called him Ron. Like, he's one of my favorite people.
I just love how after the malice, he's like, do you think we're getting in trouble for this? It's like, Ron, you, jumped in the stands and attacked a fan.
You hurt a father. But speaking of fathers.
I know. Oh, I thought we were going in. I thought you were saying speaking of athletes attacking. I'd be like, I know. It's.
Oh, why? Where are you going?
I was going Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. My God. Sign him up, Vince. But,
where are you going?
Speaking of weird dad things from this week. Did you see what happened at the Masters?
No.
Rory McIlroy hit a really bad shot into a crowd of people and hit his fucking father.
Oh, Jesus.
How? I want to know the odds of that.
Jesus.
He hit his father in a crowd of people. On a random crowd of people. He didn't know his dad was there. And he hit him.
Wait, did you see my father's tweet to us when I tweeted about Bad Bunny? He's like, well, he was facing the Miz. I'm like, wow.
He gets it.
Yeah. I don't think he does get it.
They got
I think he thinks Bad Bunny and the Miz were shoot fighting.
Your father kind of looks like Bad Bunny.
No, he don't. Excuse me?
He does.
He does not.
He's a little bit.
My dad is a white Italian male. He is not a Puerto Rican. I wish my dad was Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have so many nice things to say about him later.
Yeah,
so
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
We've been meaning to talk about NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. We got as far as the pre-show. So now let's go to the opener, Nita Strauss, with a rendition of the national anthem. And then they revealed the Deadly Game skull. And you say the other company loves their nostalgia.
Well, at least it's their nostalgia.
I guess. Well, not all of it is. The Great American Bash wasn't theirs.
But it's been theirs for years.
Yeah, because they pirated it. I guess
they purchased it. They won.
I guess that WrestleMania theme was appropriate because they stole everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, the opener was Peter Dunne taking on Kushida.
Kushida, who had a hell of a week.
Who almost beat Pete Dunne, but he didn't.
No, I'm okay with that.
I gotta see where both guys go next. I mean, I think it's fairly clear where Kushida's going next. We'll get there after we talk about TakeOver. But it seems like Pete Dunne's going right back into the title picture, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. He's one of the best in the world, no doubt, but I don't know.
He needs McAfee back.
That certainly would help. But this match kicked ass.
Although I would love to see McAfee and Cross promo each other.
I think this match fell victim to circumstance of having to conform to TV time because they only got 10 minutes and 39 seconds, but they made a lot of that 10 minutes and 39 seconds.
As Kushida does in all of his matches.
Yeah.
The match that he would have later in the week wasn't that long, and they got a lot in there.
It felt longer than this one. Maybe it wasn't, but it felt longer than this one. But I love this match. Pete Dunne's always great, stomping on fingers. It's the one thing... I do miss Mauro saying Pete Dunne enjoys finger foods.
Yes.
I do miss that.
Although, you can't go wrong with the classic joint manipulation.
No. It's
the greatest two words in wrestling.
By the way, that pre-show guy who came from MMA, I thought he did a great job. I forget his name, and I feel like a douche, but...
I know who you're talking about, and I also forget
Jimmy
his name.
Smith, maybe?
Yes.
Is that his
yes,
name?
Yes, that's what it is.
I thought he did a tremendous job.
I mean, he did a better job than the other person that changed jobs this week.
Oh. Oh yeah.
Virk had some trouble Monday.
He kept calling Ivar Eric Ivar.
And to be fair,
it is very confusing that most men in WWE only have one name. So Vince, it makes no sense, and you got your fucking SportsCenter broadcaster confused.
Jeff Harvey. Alright, okay.
Yeah, sportscasters don't have a good track record, do they?
No, Bob Uecker did.
I mean, he did one match at WrestleMania 3.
That's fair.
I mean, come on now. And McAfee did good on that one SmackDown. But he's just being McAfee.
Yeah, he could do anything, though. He's the exception, not the rule.
But I really love this match. I wasn't upset that Kushida lost, but I was kind of, like, questioning where does he go next. But we'll get to that later.
You got
later.
Your answer.
Yeah, we'll get to that later, and I have mixed feelings about it. But, like I said, we'll get there later. Any final thoughts in this match before we move on?
Oh, it's exactly what you expected out of them. It's a great match for two of the best wrestlers in the world. The Styles clash was pretty good. I mean, Pete's that European kind of catch-as-catch-can wrestler.
I mean, he is very European.
Yeah, and Kushida
His last name is the name of the country he was born in.
It is, which why is it his name? But that's too gimmicky. No one believed that.
That's a name that you're like, that's such a fucking fake name.
From Birmingham, Peter England. Like, no, it's not going to happen.
From England, Peter England.
But Kushida works that, I don't know what style you would say Kushida works. It's kind of like mostly strong style, right?
I mean, it's kind of a, I'd say it's a more European style similar to Pete Dunne's. It's a lot of work in the arm, working different body parts.
But he definitely throws some strong
style. I mean, yeah, he's got the Shote. He's got some kicks. He definitely has a little bit of the, I'd almost say it's like a King's Road style, but that's more Walter. And I don't think there's two more different people on earth than Pete Dunne and Walter. More on him in a little bit, but yeah, Kushida is kind of a hybrid of like a modern day Japanese style and a modern day British style, which I guess is why this match with Pete Dunne works so well. Yeah, I like this match.
It was very good. Great opener.
Moving on, a 6-man gauntlet eliminator where the winner will face Johnny Gargano on night 2. This went 23 minutes and 14 seconds. The competitors were Isaiah Swerve Scott, Leon Ruff, Cameron Grimes, Bronson Reed, Dexter Lumis, and L.A. Knight. We kicked it off with Scott jumping Leon Ruff before the bell. They did some really good stuff. I said, like, I would withhold judgment on Leon Ruff's title reign until I saw what they did with him, like, in the months to come. And I think I can now safely say I have no problem with it because, yes, it kind of was a joke title reign, but they're treating him as a player on this show in the mid-card.
And he plays his role very well.
He does. His offense looks great, and he can sell his ass off.
Yeah,
he could sell probably any better than anyone in the company.
Maybe. Honest to God, maybe. He
makes
getting thrown around like a rag doll look like he's getting thrown around like a rag doll.
I think it's between him and Drake Maverick.
Yeah, well, Maverick's a phenomenal seller. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I think those two guys are elite. Then Cameron Grimes came in. He tried bribing Isaiah Swerve Scott. It worked. So they both beat up Leon Ruff for a little bit. Then Bronson Reed came in, and the two heels took advantage of Bronson Reed. Eventually, Cameron Grimes hit the cave-in on Leon Ruff, but Swerve, being the great heel that he is, dumped Grimes and eliminated Leon Ruff himself. Then Dexter Lumis came in. He did some Dexter Lumis shit.
Loved the fucking off-the-rope suplexes.
Yes, the reverse exploders, yes. Off the ropes.
He just kept giving them to everybody. Yeah. And it was outstanding.
Yeah.
Which, things got weird in a second here.
Yeah. So then Bronson Reed ends up on the stage somehow. Then L.A. Knight is the final entrance. He comes out, cuts a great promo on everyone involved. He boots Reed off the stage. He comes in, he runs wild, but he eliminates Lumis. Lumis has the what the fuck do you call his finisher? The silence.
Yeah.
He has a silence locked in, and then L.A. Knight did a roll-up over the top of it. And
after Lumis took a horrible-looking fall.
Yeah, he clotheslined, was it Swerve over the top rope?
Yes.
Clotheslined Swerve over the top rope, and it looked like Lumis got the worst of it. He kind of got hung up on the ropes and then fell awkwardly.
Which I thought maybe they called an audible, because there was no way in my mind that he was losing this match.
Yeah. So eventually it came down to Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, and Swerve. They got Grimes out of there, and then Swerve and Reed had a great back and forth. I think Swerve is definitely the MVP of this match. But eventually Reed hit the tsunami, and Bronson Reed wins and advanced to night two. Like I said, they got a lot of time. It was the longest match in the show, 23 minutes and 14 seconds. And
it was better than it could be.
It showcased the NXT mid-card, which has kind of been a weak point. Like, I didn't know who was going to take the North American title off Gargano. And I guess I still don't technically know, but I think I have a better idea now. I definitely think Reed's gonna get his rematch and get his moment.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that match when we get to night two. Coming up next, arguably the match of WrestleMania weekend. There could be some debate, but I think this will be a lot of people's picks. We have the United Kingdom Championship on the line. Walter defends against Tommaso Ciampa. I know as the show was going on, we were talking about this, but Ciampa, like, he had to do this on purpose. Growing his hair out, letting his beard get all gray, looking, like, absolutely as old as possible while being in a slump, and then, like, saying he wants the 2018 Tommaso Ciampa back, and he comes back out tonight, bald head, the beard is dyed. He looked like 2018 Tommaso Ciampa again, and he wrestled like 2018 Tommaso Ciampa again. This match was unbelievable. I love the spot where Walter tried to chop Ciampa on the table, and Ciampa moved, and he chopped the table so hard that he fucking broke the announce table, like the board.
Yeah, that was different.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. Usually you just dump them on top of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was great. It really puts over Walter's chop.
And I think the best part about that spot is I'm not even sure if that was intentional or he just chopped so hard that he broke the fucking thing.
And I don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ciampa hit him with an air raid crash off the top rope. That was pretty batshit. Walter hit all of his big moves, the clothesline from hell, the powerbomb. And then he finished him off with a chop. And I know that got a lot of people mad. And if you're mad at that finish, I encourage you to take a chop from Walter.
Yeah, no.
And see if you'll stay down for 3 seconds afterwards.
Well, this is, it's because nobody's seen it in forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, when's the last time a match ended with a chop?
Yeah, it doesn't need the big finish. Literally the most devastating move in the world Walter can sell is that chop.
And it's not like he hit him with the big boot.
I think
boot.
I'd rather take a tombstone from Owen Hart and take one of those chops.
He hit him with the big boot. He hit him with the splash from the top. He hit him with the powerbomb. It's not like he just chopped him once and the match was over. It was an accumulation of everything.
Now, can I ask you a question?
I think that's what we're here for.
Is Walter the best wrestler on the planet? Because I think we're into that mode now. I think we're into that area. Because, good God, what a fucking match.
Well, someone else in this card, but a different night, is going to get their flowers from me, and I think they might have a case for it, because I did not expect to enjoy something on night two that I enjoyed as much as I did, And I think this guy may have a case for that claim. But I think Walter definitely has a case for the, has a case for it. I mean, he could cut a decent promo. He's a great in-ring technician.
He has a presence. He's certainly not like anybody else in wrestling.
Yeah, it's tough to argue. Like,
it's hard to rank him. Like, it's easier to rank like Omega or and Rollins or whatever in your own mind. Obviously, nothing's set in stone. But he is. There's nothing like what would be close to him in the world. Lesnar.
They're not even the same. Like,
but in standing alone like that, nobody does what Lesnar does. Nobody does what Walter does.
Yeah.
But everybody else is kind of the same. I mean, I think...
I wouldn't say that either, but I get what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying? Everybody else is closer to each other than anybody is to those two.
There's a lot of people that are in a certain box.
Yeah.
Or a box-like structure.
Yeah.
Which, I didn't watch it.
God damn it, Michael.
I didn't watch that, but I heard people clowning Michael Cole for calling a literal box a box-like structure. Or was it Sat? Someone. It was the Raw team, so was it Cole?
Yeah, it was Cole.
Oh, yeah, because Cole called all the Raw matches, too. Because Tom Phillips got the boot.
Yep. Where is he? What's he doing?
He is the senior manager of talent.
Because he technically got a promotion, right?
Yeah, I think he's doing what Cole was doing. He's like the senior manager of on-air talent.
What's Cole doing then?
Cole probably got another promotion, like something in the executive branch or something.
Unless Michael Cole's, he's training him.
That could be it. I don't know.
But, you know, good for him. I heard he's going to host some stuff on Peacock.
And 205 Live.
And 205 Live. Which is where he started, so that's cool with me.
Yeah, I love the match. Walters, who the fuck's gonna take that title off him?
I don't know. Who's left? A Banshee?
There's a rumor that Bea Priestley is coming to NXT UK. Maybe she'll take it off him. I don't know.
I don't know. It's the time because I need to see give whatever money you have to Walter to come live here.
You don't think they've already tried that?
Oh, I know they've already tried it. Give him more. just come here for a year. Give us 5 matches and give us 5 pay-per-views and 10 and wrestling matches a year. And then
just put him on the fucking Brock schedule.
Yeah. Because good lord, he doesn't need to be that fucking wrestler.
But then if you take him away from NXT UK, who do they got? You know what I mean?
They have a kid.
They do have a kid, that's true. And I guess they have Tyler Bate too, who's a hippie now.
Yeah, he's and Trent Seven who's a vegan.
Cruiserweight. Cruiserweight Trent Seven.
Who the fuck is he, kid?
Did you see that Miz put something on Instagram that he's down to 206 pounds? And everyone's like, he didn't say he's down to 205 pounds because he wants to avoid that show.
Wouldn't you?
I mean, I think a certain Santos Escobar is done. Well, he never appears in that show, so I guess. Which is weird because you think he would.
Yeah. Think we both said he could save the division doing it, but he did
save the division. He just did it on NXT instead of 205 Live.
As we'll get there in the future.
Triple threat match for the NXT Tag Team Championships. MSK taking on Grizzly Young Veterans, taking on Legado del Fantasma. This match was exactly what you'd expect from these three teams. It was awesome.
Whoever booked this match needs a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Because this match was exactly what it needed to be after the Walter and Ciampa match.
Yeah, it was a good palate cleanser. It was the exact opposite of what Ciampa and Walter was in all the right ways. MSK were flying around everywhere. Grizzly Young Veterans, once again, some European guys doing some great joint work. And Legado were also holding their own. And eventually MSK pulled out the dub, and they're the new NXT Tag Team Champions. We both said this had to happen, but apparently fans at NXT disagreed because there were some boo-birds for MSK already on Tuesday.
Yeah, hey, pals, take a hike, will you? They needed to win. They did win. The match was fucking awesome.
Well, they all hate Gibson, so their shoes are off.
Ooh. You don't know. Actually, you do know.
I very much
how know. Much that angers me.
And I don't know why, though.
Because you're the fucking Brits, that's why.
Does that have to... Your hatred with, like, English culture blows my mind.
By order, the Peaky fucking Blinders.
Yeah, as you say, you like that TV show. You should...
But this was awesome.
Fun fact, it was filmed in Liverpool, and I guess, like, Liverpool looks so much like the motif they're going for, they didn't even need to build sets.
For what?
For Peaky Blinders.
How the hell do you know that?
I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Much like I also saw the Fast 9 trailer. We had to sneak the reference in there.
Somewhere. They're only at 9?
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be 200 or 300 by now. Why? Okay.
John Cena's joining the crew because we didn't have enough wrestlers in that movie.
You want to know how I know there's no God?
Because there's 9 Fast and Furious movies?
Because there's 9 Fast and Furious instead of Pirates of the Caribbean.
I saw someone say the next one better be called Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
And it probably will be because apparently we're going to the fucking moon.
We got The Rock, John Cena, and Cameron Grimes.
And Kane. And Kane. Kane will be there.
Why not?
He'll just be Glenn Jacobs. He'll see no evil.
From the critically acclaimed See No Evil series. Which the fact there was a second one like 10 years later still blows my mind.
Was he in the second one?
Yes.
Oh, good God.
And then finally the main event of Night 1. Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai taking on Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship of the World. It's a good match. Io Shirai made Raquel look like $1 million.
Yes, she did. Congratulations, Io Shirai. This was all. Not saying Raquel's not good.
Yeah, no, but
she does need work. Nobody's saying she doesn't.
Raquel legitimately did an interview where she said the story of the match was that she was green. Like that was the story they were going for.
Yeah, and they did it well.
Yeah,
and they kept everything safe. And Io made her look like $1 million.
Well, I don't know how safe that dive off the skull was. That looked a little risky.
Well, that's everything's safe to a point.
But yeah, Io got to do her big dive that she's done in like the last 5 takeovers. And yeah, Raquel hit her Uranagi like finish, and Raquel Gonzalez is the new NXT Women's Champion. Big celebration. What do you make of this, and what's next for Io? She did not appear on NXT on Tuesday.
Absolutely the right call.
Is she ready for a good time? Although the other brand could use her a lot more than that brand.
Yeah, I think we can go
but I think if they were gonna, and
Bianca.
But Rock needs her so much more.
Yeah, Rod does.
But the Raw after Mania already happened, so I think that ship sailed.
I don't know what she's doing, but she can't really do anything else in there.
Unless she and Sarai go after the tag titles, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know how I feel about that, because I think she's ready for Raw. She's beyond ready for Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, Raw could use her, can't she?
Yeah. The way Roz treated Asuka, maybe she's better off going to SmackDown.
That's true. That's more than true.
But let us go to Night 2, shall we? The pre-show match for this, Breezango, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, in case you didn't know, took on Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. Winners would be the #1 contenders to the NXT tag titles. I'm assuming you didn't watch this match either.
No, I didn't.
Well, Dane and Maverick won.
Yeah, I figured, because they had a match on
Tuesday. Yeah. The opener was Poppy. Triple H got this woman to write a whole ass song for the show.
I want to know why he loves Poppy so much. And I do too. But
I was going to say, who doesn't love Poppy?
It's just funny. It's funny to see.
You listen to Poppy's music and you why wouldn't? That's everything Triple H loves.
Yes.
The ladder match to determine the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Santos Escobar versus Jordan Devlin. They got 18 minutes and 8 seconds. Good ladder match. Really good ladder match. Wasn't anything too dangerous in this.
Had a story.
Yeah. So, it looked like Devlin was about to win. Legato came out and dumped him off the ladder, but then Santos sent Legato to the back, which he also did again on Tuesday, so maybe they're foreshadowing something here. Eventually, the two were at the top of the ladder. Santos gave him a headbutt, which is irony because that's what Devlin had been using to fuck people up, because his head is the size of Mount Rushmore.
Almost the size of my head.
And Devlin crashed off the ladder through another ladder. Santos pulled down both titles and celebrated with his son afterwards. And I know there was an angry little man in Washington that was very angry about this.
Why is there an angry man in Washington?
That's where he lives.
Oh, okay.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Who's an angry little man that gets very angry talking about wrestling? And a very big
angry little man that lives in Washington.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
Chico. Up next for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship.
But I really, hold on, I'm going to say something real quick.
Go ahead.
I really like that match.
Yeah, it's good. It's
I don't know that. Why it did not get, I don't know why other people didn't like it as much as me, if that makes any sense.
I mean, I don't think it was the best ladder match ever, but I thought it was a really good opener. I haven't seen anyone really shitting on it.
Santos is a star.
He is. Certainly. Certainly. So, we got the NXT Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Shotzi and Ember defend against The Way, Candice LeRae, and Indy Hartwell. Shotzi almost killed herself with a dive.
Wait.
I know.
Shotzi almost killed herself with a dive?
Shocking news.
Jesus Christ. I would never have guessed.
And eventually, the champs retained. This match was kind of the most nothing match in the show, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to any of the competitors involved. I'm a fan of all four women, but it was just a 10-minute tag match that would fit in on any weekly episode of NXT TV.
Yeah, it was fine.
It wasn't, but I don't think it was takeover quality.
No, it wasn't, but who cares?
Up next, singles match for the North American Championship. Johnny Gargano, accompanied by Austin Theory, defends against Bronson Reed, the thick boy himself. They had a really fun match.
I have to say, what we're going to talk about after for what happened last night, they ended on a great visual, and they could do a lot with him, and I wish they do.
I like the fact that they were referencing Bronson's injuries from night one as a way to make him selling for Johnny more believable, because he had already been through a grueling gauntlet for 20 minutes, and his ribs were hurt, and Johnny Gargano was taking advantage of the hurt ribs. I thought that was a great way to have a guy half the size of him realistically beat the shit out of him. That was nice and clever and creative.
And he's less than half the size of him.
Yeah, I might have been being a little generous there. Eventually, Bronson went for the tsunami. He missed. Johnny hit one final beat, not once, but twice, and defeated Bronson Reed, and is still the North American champion. If he was still the belt, that'd be weird.
Hey, this is the way.
And after never having a successful takeover title defense, he now has two with this title. After he didn't almost beat Kushida, he did beat Kushida. And now he has defeated Bronson Reed. And yeah, we'll see what's next for a Johnny takeover.
Where do you want him to go? I know where you want him to go, but
I mean, that's not necessarily where I want him to go, but I think Bronson is gonna be the guy that dethrones him.
Yeah, and I think he deserves it. Yeah, I think
definitely give him a chance to.
You said it last night, the NXT mid card is a really weird place.
It's a strange place.
Because you got some great wrestlers in there, and some of them are handled great, like Bronson. Like the ending last night, spoiler, with him holding the two girls on his shoulders, looked fucking awesome.
You got Loomis. His booking is a complete enigma.
Well, I mean, that's probably because he's a complete enigma.
LA Knight, we still don't know what the fuck's going on there. Swerve seems to be building some momentum, but I don't think they're going to go from heel to heel. Bronson just seems like the logical choice. I thought Kushida might be the guy again down the road, but it seems like he's preoccupado now. And, yeah, I don't know.
Gotta be Bronson.
Yeah, it seems to be.
And that opens up a lot of opportunities for that, because Johnny's run's coming to an end. He can't do much more. But he has longevity now with his kids.
But he's also never going to leave NXT. Maybe him and Theory go for the tag titles next. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
good. That'd be cool. Up next, I was alluding to this before when we were talking about people who may be the best wrestler in the world. I think we got to hang Finn Balor's jersey in the rafters, folks.
Yeah, he saved the title. And he put on this fucking banger. Not that Cross had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, no.
But this was Finn, and Finn's amazing. But Finn might be the best wrestler in the world.
I hadn't been interested in a lot of, like, Cross's NXT in-ring work, but this match banged. And you know what? I think in the long run, this injury is the best thing that ever happened to Cross.
Yeah.
Because he went from spooky monster guy to a guy that could believably sell now. Because what did Johnny target all... I mean, not Johnny. What did Finn target all match? The shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's like, just like when he went after Brock's diverticulitis. Like, you know this monster has a weakness and you can attack it. And, like, that's something that Cross can use for his whole career now. Everyone knows that shoulder's bad. They can target it. He could believably sell. Yeah, it sucked that he had to give up the title after a day. But I think in the long run, this injury could be one of the better things that ever happened to him.
And it lowered the hype, which is always good.
Yeah, and, like, I kind of complained about them making Cross just another guy, like, in the build-up. Like, he's more of, like, a gladiator rather than spooky ghost guy. And once again, in the long run, that's probably a good thing, because spooky ghost guy, unless you're the Undertaker, it seems like it never works in the long run. Like, Loomis is already starting to have that problem. Like, what do you do with the guy?
Yeah, now he's kidnapping women.
So, well, she wanted to be kidnapped. So, I think the Cross injury, although, like I said, it sucked at the time, and I felt awful for him. I think it's probably one of the best things that could have happened for him in terms of his future in the company, which sounds really weird and really fucked up in a way, but, like, you get what I'm saying, right?
Well, you're right.
It humanized an unhuman character that needed to be humanized to have believability and longevity.
And success. Yeah. No, I agree, and this match ruled.
They passed the Brock spot for my favorite, like, kick out of the coup de grace. When Brock locked the Kimura in right after the coup de grace, that used to be my favorite. But I think the Cross jacket after the two count takes that spot now. I love the finish of him just beating Balor till the ref stopped it, because it makes Balor look strong. He never gave up. He never tapped out. He never got pinned. He just couldn't intelligently defend himself, so the referee stopped the match. Cross is the new NXT champion. Everything is right in the world. Like, it should have been in August.
I expect him to have it a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he's going to be the guy.
Maybe a full year.
I don't know. I could see Vince already salivating over him. So it could be a deal like Keith Lee where it's not as long as a title reign as you expect because the boss man sees him.
Speaking of, any news?
He was at Mania, but still can't get cleared.
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good sign.
No, and it sucks. It's not wrestling related.
Yeah. So, God only knows what it could be. We're not here to speculate, but Keith, hope you get healthy soon. But yeah, the NXT Championship match, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, Finn, you deserve all the flowers.
Yeah, for sure.
For saving that title.
Yeah.
And now handing it off to its rightful owner. And wherever you're going to go, you're going to do just fine.
Yeah. And then the main event of this night, 40 minutes and 19 seconds. This is either going to be a hot take or you completely agree with me. I didn't like it. And I was so much looking forward to it, too.
I just think that everything was so good, they couldn't do anything to live up to it.
See, I think the problem was, and I'm not saying like, WWE's gone downhill because there's no blood. But when I watch like Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, and I'm not trying to compare the two matches, but they had a similar feud. This one was a lot more personal, but it was still a personal issue. And at the end of that match, both those women were bleeding. It just made you invest so much more in the story. And, like, these guys are hitting each other with chains. Adam Cole whacked him with a TV monitor, and the only blood was a little cut in Adam Cole's hand.
Yeah.
And I get why WWE doesn't do blood every night, but on a TakeOver special that's not even on TV, it's only on Peacock, for NXT, which is supposedly, like, your more adult, hardcore product, you can't have a little blood in this blood feud.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that just kind of like really...
The ending should have busted him open.
And there's a lot in that match that should have busted both of them open.
Yeah.
Like, if you fucking whacked me with a TV, I'm pretty sure I'd probably be bleeding.
That's true.
If I fucking hit you with a knee drop with a chain, I'm pretty sure you'd probably be bleeding.
It certainly did not live up to how well they did in the build-up.
And I just think it went too long and there were too many near falls. And I get that's wrestling today. But, like, we'll talk about it a little bit in WrestleMania. Besides the triple threat main event, I don't think there was a match in the entire card both nights that went over 20 minutes. And I thought there was a lot of good wrestling at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they don't
need
it.
Wrestling doesn't need to be 40 minutes. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be matches that should be 40 minutes. But I just don't think this needed to go 40 minutes. And I don't know.
It could have cut it in half and they would have did better. But it's over. I still think it's a successful feud. And I think both guys are going to be just fine.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
The right person won, mainly.
The only person I really saw bitching about this match was the angry man in Washington. And usually when me and him are the only ones that are saying something, it's not a good sign for me.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if you felt... Because
I get it.
I hated it.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
And I felt bad for the two guys because the program was so good. I mean, I shouldn't even say I really felt bad for them because everyone else seemed to enjoy it, and that's great. If you enjoyed it, I'm not telling you were wrong. I'm just saying maybe it was my fault. Maybe I had too high of expectations. But certainly didn't live up to it with me. I'm curious to see where they go next. It seems they're not done with each other based on the awesome video package on Tuesday. I thought the video of them cursing at each other on the stretchers being wheeled into the hospital was awesome.
You know where they took that from?
Oh, where?
Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Last Man Standing.
Oh, yeah, Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble
2004.
Philly, yeah.
But, yeah, they're not done with each other. Maybe they'll make it up.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Do you want to move on to the Tuesday debut of NXT now?
Let's.
So we're not going to go through the whole show. We're just going to talk about some notable things and the viewership and what we think the pattern will be going forward. The most notable thing on the show, I think, was the Cruiserweight title change. Santos Escobar held an open challenge that was accepted by Kushida with, yet again, another new look. Don't know how I feel about this new look, but Kushida's awesome regardless. And Kushida countered a Santos roll-up into a roll-up of his own. And is he new NXT Cruiserweight Champion? How do you feel about this? What do you think is next for both guys? Actually, I'll go first with Santos because I'm the one who gave you the idea and I'm not letting you steal it.
I'll just take it from you right now.
No.
Go ahead.
You won't. So I think, obviously, the deal was they see Santos as someone who has outgrown the Cruiserweight division. But with the past allegations regarding Jordan Devlin, they didn't want to deal with him being the guy either. So they put it on probably the safest choice they have in that locker room. perhaps the best junior heavyweight of this millennium.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Ospreay has an argument, although he's moved on to bigger and better things. I think Liger has an argument for the first part of the millennium, at least.
Yeah, he was still rolling.
But I think Kushida might be the best junior heavyweight since the year 2000. And him as the Cruiserweight champion, he'll do just fine. It'll be interesting to see if he keeps up the prestige that Santos started. But I think Bronson Reed might win this North American title, and he might have El Legado breathing down his neck.
I'll take that. I'll absolutely take that.
But I saw a lot of Santos fans really bummed about him losing this title. It's kind of like Bobby losing the U.S. title. It was necessary for the next step.
Yeah.
And I think Santos...
They obviously have plans for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a fucking star.
Yeah.
He's going to be... And as fucked up as this is, it's the truth. He's going to be successful because he speaks perfect English.
Yeah.
And it's fucked up and it shouldn't be that way, but that's just how it is.
We said it multiple times on this show. He's going to be what we all thought Andrade was going to be.
Yeah.
But
also on the same show, I'm pretty sure I said Andrade would be the next Rey Mysterio, so I'm 0 for 1.
I mean, Rey Mysterio did leave at one point.
Yeah, then he killed
him. He also wrestled the Elite.
That's true.
Yeah, but all right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we got to talk about the women's segment and the debut of one Frankie Monet. So Raquel Gonzalez came out. She was quickly interrupted by Frankie Monet, who, of course, is the former Taya Valkyrie.
She picked the name, by the way.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's a stupid name. I think the fact they change everyone's name is stupid.
Okay.
That's kind of...
I get that. I get why they do it.
I have zero issue with the name. It's, unlike LA Knight, which I just think is a dumb name.
It's a great name.
I get it because it goes with the Eli Drake chant. You can say LA Knight. It still works. But LA Knight is a fucking Los Angeles fucking moon. What the fuck?
Moon?
Yeah, because like nighttime.
It starts with a K.
Yeah, well, you can't just spell it N-I-G-H-T. That's lame.
But a knight is a
I don't think he's a fucking medieval fucking jouster.
Knight's also somebody's last name.
Yeah, Trevor Knight.
Paige! The Wrestling Knights of Birmingham!
First of all, they're not from Birmingham. They're from Norwich.
Norwich, yes. It's all the same over there. It rains and the food sucks. What does it matter?
I like the rain.
But you don't like food sucking.
I like fish and chips.
But it's no, they make stupid chips. You ever have fries? They're like that fucking thick and it's 100% potato.
Listen, the worst two types of fries are curly fries and crinkle fries. And Arby's has them both.
Listen, I'm not here for any Arby's slander.
Me either. If I can get a fast food Reuben, I'm always all for it.
I don't mind curly fries. Crinkle fries are God's
gift. They both suck.
Yeah, they're
both suck. Curly fries suck.
You know what the single best fry is? The shoestring. Nice, thin, crispy, salty.
You're just having kitchen flashbacks. Or the counter, excuse me.
What do you mean? That's, oh, yes.
Yeah.
But McDonald's is considered shoestring.
With your hidden menu Parmesan garlic fries.
I said, what is that and why get it here? I said, I want it here. They were delicious.
We need a wrestling show in New York City for the
counter.
Yeah, we do.
We got to go to the counter because I'm Buffalo. But the women's segment.
Yes. So Frankie Monet came out. Her theme song kicks ass. Love that the dog is still with her. I love that the dog is a Gucci collar. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, you were wearing like $1,200.
You said it, not me, bud. That probably was the most... With the shorts and the shoes, that's probably the most expensive outfit I ever wore.
I had a friend who's very down with that.
Yeah?
And he broke it down for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the sunglasses, too.
He loved it.
They're another couple hundred. But anyway. Yeah. I thought her debut was effective. I can't wait to see what she does. But then Rhea Ripley came out. And then Bianca Belair came out, and they put up a picture of all three of them, like, teaming in NXT, and then, like, all three of them were standing with their belts, and it's kind of like they just said, fuck it, the future of the women's division's now, we're pulling the trigger on all brands. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And, cool.
Yeah, it was a nice little moment.
It was. I think they heard us talking about the PC, and they're like, yeah, well, we'll show you. I don't know how we forgot about Bianca when discussing this, because absolutely that's someone they churned out.
Yep, and she's great, yeah. So as we'll talk about.
Rhea and Raquel were wrestling before the PC, so I can't give WWE full credit for that.
Yeah.
But Bianca, most of it. Bianca, absolutely. She was from scratch.
Yep, and she is great.
And she's fantastic, as we'll get into. But now the viewership. 805,000 viewers for the Tuesday debut of NXT. They did 0.22 in the demo. So that's about 150,000 and 4 points in the demo, higher than they did on Wednesdays going up against AEW. So what do you think the pattern's going to be from here on out? Do you think we'll be around the 800K mark? Do you see them possibly getting a million with like a Great American Bash special or something? What do you see as the future for the viewership of NXT?
I think the specials can do a million. But if they stay between 8 and a million, that's fine. It's a good number.
To be fair, the Super Tuesdays only did about 845 and 850-ish. So, I don't know. We'll see. Definitely an improvement over the 600,000 they were getting on Wednesdays. And we'll have to see what AEW does tomorrow. Real quick, Blood and Guts has to get over a million, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's
when is that going to be?
May 5th.
May 5th?
Yes.
All right, good.
So, yeah. Final grade for TakeOver, and what night do you think was the better night? And is this the top five TakeOver of all time? Because that's how a lot of people saying it was.
It isn't.
So what's your top five?
In order?
No, just give. That's too hard. Just give me your top five.
Brooklyn 3.
So Brooklyn 3, that was Bobby Roode and Drew. Do you mean Brooklyn 4?
Brooklyn 4, the one we were at.
Okay.
Brooklyn 4.
So that's Gargano, Ciampa.
New Orleans.
Agreed.
Chicago.
Which one?
Dunn and Bate.
Chicago 1,
and
okay.
Birch and...
Those are different shows.
Different shows?
One was Chicago 1, one was Chicago 2. Chicago 1 was Gargano and Ciampa versus AOP with a turn.
Okay, we'll come back to that one. So wait, I have...
Brooklyn 4.
New Orleans. New York, New Orleans.
New York, New Orleans. I agree.
Toronto.
Which one? The 2019 one or the 2016 one?
2016 one.
Okay.
And Philadelphia.
Huh. All right.
I mean, Philadelphia for one very specific reason.
See, I think this one was top five, honestly.
Was it? I mean, they're all good. I'm not going to... They're the best wrestling shows on the planet. No one does it better than them.
I thought there was enough classics on here. Cross and Balor, the six-man eliminator, the tag match, Ciampa and Walter... granted, it's not fair because it was two nights, so it's not really fair to judge. But I definitely put a top five. I still think New York's number one and New Orleans is number two. Those are my top two in that order. I could also be biased because I have both of them. But, yeah. Which night did you like better in grade?
Overall grade, B+. Good.
So, wow, you definitely don't think it was top five.
B+, A-. I mean,
B+ isn't top five with TakeOver standards. B+. But you said it's not top five, so that's a fair grade.
The situation might have been
lack of an atmosphere. I could see
there's something about those TakeOvers, man. They're fantastic.
Hopefully, the next one we get people, like real people.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go with night two being better.
Really?
Wow. I don't know. I'm trying to weigh off. I loved Cross, and it was ruined by the 78-hour main event. But night one had. The Eliminator, which I really liked.
See, most of the matches I liked were on night one.
I'm going night one, actually. Yeah, come to think about it.
Most of the matches I liked were on night one.
And that will be a theme.
That definitely will be a theme. But yeah, I'm going to go A-, and I'm going to go night one, and I am going to go top five.
Are we going to go top five?
I'm going to go top five.
I'm not gonna fault you for saying that.
No, yeah, it's your opinion. There's no right or wrong answer.
I mean, I just think of the
atmosphere. I'm just shocked that you put Toronto 2016. I mean, I know the DIY Revival match was awesome, but I'm trying to think what else was on that show.
I believe Rude.
And Tengai. That was Rude and Tengai.
Never mind.
That was Rude and Tengai.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm fairly sure it was Rude and
you
Tengai.
You sure it was Rude and Nakamura?
No, it was Joe and Nakamura in the main event.
Joe
won the title back for no reason. They played the wrong music. They played Joe's shitty debut music.
Oh, they played the jungle music.
Yes,
it's like drums.
It's like an upbeat, like it's like a 90s hip-hop fucking upbeat.
Georgia the Jungle shit.
I gotta find that first theme now, because that was bad.
It was terrible. It was Bob Roode and Tengai.
Yes, Bob Roode and Tengai, and you put that in your top five.
No, never mind.
You said top five, not five.
No, he's not in there. Nope, he's in there. Kona Reeves and Rich Swann wrestled on those matches. This is not what I'm talking about. let's go Toronto 2.
That was Gargano. Here we go. Listen to how bad this song is.
It's terrible.
Wait for the 90s hip-hop beat to drop.
That is so bad.
This man won the NXT title and they played this.
That is so bad. I don't know. I know I can't. So Brooklyn, New Orleans, Brooklyn 4, Philadelphia, New York. There you go. There's your 5.
Oh, you put Brooklyn 1 in there instead?
Yep.
That's fair. I'll never let you live down to 10 guys in your top 5.
No, not in any top 5. Whether the wrestlers, I don't want to see wrestle ever.
I'm pretty sure 10 guy wrestled the Brooklyn 1, so there's no avoiding it.
No,
that's him and Apollo, wasn't it?
It was him and Apollo, but that's okay. That's okay. I didn't hate him then, but I hate him now. Look, he's fucking right there. He's an asshole.
That is hysterical. 10 guys on our TV right now.
Yeah, buddy, you suck. You were never good anywhere. A number got you over. And here comes Fatty Jericho. But, all right. So that's enough talking about NXT.
We'll move on to the Showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania, next. So WrestleMania, I almost said 27. God, that's PTSD right there. It's been 10 years since that abomination of a show.
That's the greatest show of all time. What are you talking about? We had Weird Faceless Cody.
I like weird faceless Cody.
Yeah, and that was the peak of his career.
Such a fucking jab thrower.
Oh, my God. I almost just said something bad. But I'm not going to say it again.
Well, good to know. But we had WrestleMania 37. The only... Well, that's a lie, too. The second WrestleMania.
The only WrestleMania that was too big for the Performance Center and one night.
There you go. You got it. With an alleged 25,675 people at each night.
What do you think?
Could have been 25,676. It's so hard to tell. Like, both nights were definitely attended very well. I think, I call bullshit that there were the same amount of people there at both nights. There were definitely more people in night one than night two. So I, maybe they sold every ticket for both nights, but night two had more on the secondhand market or whatever. I have no doubt they sold out both nights between scalpers and, like, regular people. I have zero doubt about that. But there are definitely more people in the stadium night one. Night one was packed. Night two was still very well attended, but not as packed. We were on the hard cam side. There were cutouts in the hard cam side. There were no cutouts on the side that the hard cam wasn't facing. Well, technically, the side the hard cam was on, there's no cutouts. The side the hard cam was pointing at, there were cutouts. But obviously, the side the hard cam's on isn't going to be on TV, so why waste the energy putting cutouts on that side? So I get it.
Yeah. Cutouts in front of you were hysterical.
Yeah. I had five... So I put the picture on my Instagram story, and I sent it to my dad because he was watching the show. I sent it to you, too. I had legitimately 6 different people make the same joke about how cardboard cutouts have better seats than me. I'm like... It's not that funny. Like,
did I make the joke?
Yes, you were one of them. You, my dad, and like 4 people on Instagram. Including Chris Cummings. Shout out to Chris Cummings.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Felt good to be back at a live event. The old saying is you don't miss something till it's gone. But the saying really should be you don't miss something till it's gone and then you get it back. Because I didn't realize how much I missed live shows, so I was at another live show. I was like, holy shit, this just feels right. I know I sent you the video of like everybody coming out and hyping up the crowd before they went on the air was fucking awesome. That was like, because I turned to my buddy that was there with, he just goes, is that Kevin Owens? And like, Kevin Owens is on the stage, and suddenly everybody's on the stage.
That was an awesome video. And they were all fired up.
And New Day is like running around the corners, like hyping everybody up. Ricochet's out. I love that they ribbed everybody that wasn't on the card by making them wear their gear. Like, I'm like, why is Ricochet in his gear?
You know he's not fucking wrestling.
Like, why is Mace out there and all of his fucking makeup and his gear? Although Roman refused to wear his gear. He's in a suit.
I mean, he is the face of the company.
He was a McMahon, apparently. He was standing with them.
He's making them more much money than everybody else.
So I'm going to let you take this first part because... Right after the opening video package, the PA system comes over and says, dangerous weather, take cover in the concourse. And we didn't see any of the weather delay stuff in the stadium, so I don't know. I heard there were some good promos. I haven't seen a damn thing of it, so I will
let you... It just goes to show you...
I'll let you take this part.
That written promos don't necessarily work. Because these guys were just talking, and... It was some of the best stuff I've seen from the guys. Kevin Owens is just unbelievable. No actual surprise there.
Yeah.
But fucking goddamn Xavier Woods cut an unfathomably good promo. Best of his life.
Really?
And he's a stick guy for the greatest people ever. But Yeah, so it was not really much to talk about. They're just talking about the show. Really don't remember much from it. Kevin Owens is the highlight of it.
I heard there was a Michael Cole and Samoa Joe in ponchos.
Oh, my God. I was going to say in the picture today. I've never seen Samoa Joe or anybody. I've never seen anybody as miserable as Samoa Joe was in the ring.
Like, they couldn't get these guys' jackets. They were in fucking ponchos.
He was in ponchos. It was hysterical. I'll have to find this picture for you.
So,
do you want to give us a little reason how it was going there?
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out how to say this without offending anybody. But my friends of African-American descent aren't the most on-time people. So, dude, he's doing like the Tony, he's doing the Scarface. Why is he doing the Scarface? Why is he Tony Montana?
I don't know, but he was just miserable.
But anyway, so we were supposed to start drinking at like 3:00. It was like 4:30 and we hadn't even got the alcohol yet. So I'm like, okay, I know we're going to be late. And, so we're looking and we planned on leaving at about 6:30. But we looked out, it was fucking pouring at 6:30. I'm like, we're gonna hold off a little bit. So finally we get there. We probably get to the stadium around 7:15, 7:30, and it stopped raining completely. And I'm like, okay, shit, we're good to go. They just gotta get everything dried off and whatnot. Obviously the ring was covered, like, we were good to go. Then they go through all the trouble of playing America the Beautiful. They play the opening video package, which night two, they use the same opening video package, which annoyed the hell out of me.
The video package was good, though.
It was. And then, as soon as the opening video package plays, there's no pyro. I'm like, huh, that's weird, no pyro. And then they make the announcement about the inclement weather. I'm like, it was one of those things where, like, the entire stadium, you hear everyone groan at the same time. It's like, oh. And I guess there was lightning in the area, because it wasn't raining. But I guess they said there was lightning in the area or whatever.
That's like an automatic 15-minute
delay. Yeah, but it was a 15-minute delay.
Every strike of lightning is another 15 minutes.
Yeah. And it was exactly that. It was a 15-minute delay, and then they started the show. So, you know, it was a minor inconvenience. I mean, it's kind of like, it's going to be a historic show on so many levels. The first show with fans in 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day, which I heard them plug a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first WrestleMania ever to get rain delayed. I could say it was that.
Did you know Knicks had a rain delay the other day?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that happened. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, how does that happen?
The roof was leaking.
Was the garden flooding?
Yeah, the roof was leaking.
Of course it was. And yeah, seeing Vince open the show was cool. He's looking quite old in person.
He looked quite old on camera too. And was the crowd as loud as it was that it seemed to be? For it.
It was loud, yeah. Oh, yeah. The start of the show, the crowd was loud. I heard like I said, I haven't watched anything on TV, but I heard conflicting reports and if there was crowd sweetening used or not. I heard some people saying yes, some people saying no. I haven't watched it, but I can tell you the three most over people, at least in, like, my little section, because that's the thing. Everyone was kind of spread out, so, like, you really didn't know, like, who was getting cheered in other sections. But in my section, the three most over people were, without a doubt, probably Bad Bunny number one. There were people singing Booker T like it was Shinsuke Nakamura's theme. I have video proof of it. It was incredible. It was the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Cesaro was super over, and Edge. Like, I saw Meltzer spout the bullshit about Edge was over because he had a lot of pyro. That couldn't be further from the truth. Edge was fucking over like Rover, and they were concerned that man was gonna get booed. So they turned him heel. But yeah, I guess should we start with the opener?
Shall we?
Bobby Lashley defends the WWE Championship against Drew McIntyre. Drew got the first entrance in front of people, which is something he said he'd wanted since pretty much his pandemic started.
And he deserved.
He did the 3-2-1 gimmick, then stabbed the sword and got lots of pyro. It was great. Bobby came out with his badass entrance. And yeah, I thought they had a good match. It was hard hitting. Just two meaty men slapping meat.
A lot of suplexes.
Drew almost circumcised himself doing his dive over the top.
Looked good though.
Did. That dude could fly.
Looked phenomenal.
Of course, he went for the Claymore, but MVP distracted him and then Bobby moved out of the way. Bobby locked in the Hurt Lock and eventually Drew passed out.
I thought it was good. Kind of a weak finish, but I get it.
What else are you going to do?
They're putting over the full Nelson and the Hurt Lock. But Who said this
time? You did.
This
no, one, you did.
One little.
I'll give you credit. Right in my ear. You said it.
This was the right move. It was 100% the right move. These two aren't done yet, and I'm perfectly okay with Drew taking it from them. But
see, that's the thing I don't get. Like, if they were gonna do it, I get why they do it in front of Pete. Like, he's gonna win the title at WrestleMania Backlash in front of a bunch of screens.
No, he's not gonna win the title there. It'll be SummerSlam.
So we're gonna drag this thing out for 5 more months.
Yep.
That sucks.
It does.
That sucks.
But this was the right match. It was the right move. Drew will hold that title again, whether it's from Bobby or not.
I just think Drew needs to step away from this title picture for a minute.
I agree, but I don't think he's
going to. Let him feud with Sheamus for the U.S. title.
Yeah, well, that's fine with me.
Up next, tag team turmoil for the number one contendership for the women's tag titles. I think the most notable thing in this match, unfortunately, was Mandy's slip. I texted you asking you if they caught it on TV. You said no, and they did.
Yeah, they did. I lied.
They did very much I'm so. Because I did see that clip.
Yes.
I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, someone was going to.
You're damn right. It was treacherous. Like, you could tell. You could see it coming a mile away. Eventually, Natalya and Tamina.
Much like if they were to spend, if I was to spend the night with Mandy.
I'm not no comment.
Nope. I'd be coming a mile away.
So you wouldn't even be able to stick it in?
No, not even close. Are you kidding me?
What's the point of spending the night with her then? You could just do that on the internet.
Yeah. All right. I wouldn't do it. It would just happen.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Natalya and Tamina won, last eliminating the Riot Squad. It went 14 minutes and 15 seconds. I mean, technically, I guess it was fine. It was just kind of there. Nice way to get a lot of people on the card, I guess.
Yeah. It worked out.
Next, what I thought was the match of night one. I know other people say the main event. They were very close. I liked them both a lot.
I like this match.
But I give this one the very, very slight edge. Seth Rollins with his awesome new theme music, taking on Cesaro. I like how this whole match was built around the swing. Cesaro went for it early and often. He couldn't get it. Seth did that really cool, like, step-up reverse Enziguri again, which was pretty awesome. We saw him do against Shinsuke at Fastlane. He did some kind of twisting frog splash that I don't even know how to describe.
Yeah, like a 360 that inverted splash. He looked like Vince Carter.
He did look like Vince Carter. That was ridiculous. Claudio hit a UFO in a WWE ring, which is...
Never thought I'd see it happen.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah, he countered the curb stomp into the uppercut, which... Don't know if it was better than the curb stomp into the RKO, but it was up there.
It was close.
That was cool to see him first. He is.
He's just an absolute fucking freak.
Eventually he hit the swing, he hit the neutralizer, and he got the 3 count. And Cesaro goes over in 11 minutes and 35 seconds. Crowd was super into Cesaro. And Seth Rollins is another guy. Like, when are we going to start giving this guy his flowers?
Yeah.
Like, he said some dumb shit about Will Ospreay on Twitter. Get over it.
He might be the best wrestler on the planet.
Seth Rollins is a bad guy because he likes work, because he likes his job.
Yeah. He's a company guy. He represents a company he's one of the faces of. I don't know.
I guess if you work for WWE, you have to be miserable. I guess that's the rule.
Yeah, unless you're not a good wrestler.
You have to be miserable, and you have to want your release. That's a requirement.
Yep.
But I don't know why people turned on Seth Rollins the way they did.
I don't know either. He's
great.
He's the best wrestler in the world.
Awesome to see Cesaro get his flowers, and hopefully he feuds with the Tribal Chief coming up. I think that would be cool, even though he has zero chance of winning, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not fine. Cesaro should be world champion.
I agree.
But it's fine.
It is fine.
Whatever.
All right, it's time.
This match was bass-ackwards, boy. New Day.
We are officially Homo Sapiens.
I almost bought you a cameo, but it was $150.
From Omos?
Yes. He was the cheapest guy they had.
Jesus.
Shane McMahon was $500.
You know people paid for
him. For a fucking cup.
Speaking of.
I have a cup in my house.
Okay. Thank you. Speaking of, did you see Braun had a black eye?
I did not. My seats were good. They weren't that
no,
good.
No, Braun had a black eye last night. I wonder who the fuck he wrestled.
Oh, last on Raw. I did not pick up on that. Yeah, Shane was throwing some potatoes. New Day, acting like they were slipping on the ramp on the way down to the ring was entertaining. Homos, this is the first time I've seen him in person. He is a gargantuan individual. I understand why he is a personal colossus now.
Does he look that big in public?
Dude, he is the biggest man I've ever seen. Like, no exaggeration.
I mean, yeah, he probably is the biggest man you've ever seen.
He's the same height as Embiid. Well, I've seen Embiid too. I've been to a couple Sixers games.
I've seen Embiid up close. He's a monster.
They're the same height, so.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I thought almost like 7'6".
Who, Omus?
Yeah.
No, he's 7'2".
7'2"?
Yeah.
But he's just
gigantic. He might be billed as 7'6", but he's not 7'6".
He's just outstanding.
So this match was backwards because the whole build was the hot tag to the heel. New Day got the heat on AJ Styles.
Because they are babyface. They should be babyfaces.
You're not wrong.
They are now.
And they weren't on Raw. They weren't on Raw at all. So who knows?
I don't know.
Sheamus and AJ Styles and Omos are all new champions that did not appear on Raw.
Good God Almighty.
Like, I don't get... You have 3 hours! You have 3 hours and you can't feature your new champions?
And especially good wrestlers, all Hall of Famers and Omos.
I thought you were including Omos.
I am. I'm just a tad premature. Next week, I might be buying.
Listen, he hit the Kali Tree Slam, so he has to be goated for that. He
fucking spikes them, too.
So, yeah. Almost finally got the hot tag, then almost ran wild.
He literally ran.
He ran wild.
He ran like someone who just learned to run.
I forget who I used to love watching run. I think it was Braun. I loved watching Braun run.
Yeah, Braun's little steps.
I think almost running is better.
It does. That almost stomps the fuck out of
him. I was howling watching almost run. Eventually, he pinned former WWE champion Kofi Kingston with a tree slam. I love Xavier Woods, but there is a perfectly good Xavier Woods to pin. And he pinned Kofi Kingston. I'm not mad at it, though, because Omos is the best. They're the new Raw Tag Team Champions. I like how AJ celebrated with both belts.
AJ was great yelling at him from the outside.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't hear that from where I was.
Oh, he was yelling. I'm pretty sure he was actually telling him what to do, but acting like he was managing.
I also saw a tweet that I guess when they're getting the heat on AJ, I guess Xavier said, "We are perfectly cutting off the ring."
Oh, yes. That's what I wanted to talk to you. He goes, "This is effective tag team wrestling. We are effectively cutting the ring in half."
I wish I heard that. I would have got a pop out of me if I heard that. That's awesome.
It was good. It made me laugh. I didn't remember it until now, so that's good.
But yeah, AJ and Omos are the new Raw Tag Team Champions of the world.
Right choice.
I hope they hold the Survivor Series so we get AJ and Omos versus Rude and Ziggler.
You know who's winning that match.
Ziggler, because we just signed a new five-year deal.
Ziggler's going to hit a big springboard famous around Omos and pin him in 10 seconds.
Up next, a match that was a pleasant surprise. Steel cage match. Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman won 11 minutes and 25 seconds.
Again, I'm right, and I just...
The program was dog shit, but this match was fun.
It was.
This match was fun.
Shane delivers at WrestleMania. He just does.
Well, it's not hard to deliver when your gimmick is getting thrown off shit. Me or you could do that.
I can't do that.
I could do it. It would hurt, but I could do it.
Fair enough.
You might over-rotate and break your neck, though.
Why would I over-rotate?
Because you're trying too hard.
Okay.
You'd be nervous. A lot of people.
I would be nervous.
I love the spot where Shane was on the outside and Braun like broke the cage and like reached through like it was a fucking horror movie.
The spot where Riker and Elias were climbing the spot and Braun just headbutted the head cage was great.
Yeah.
Looked fantastic.
Eventually the big climax came when Bradley Beal'd. I hate Excalibur for that because I always say it now. Bradley Beal'd Shane off the top of the cage and hit the running power slam and got the victory.
Perfectly fine match.
It's a good match. Up next, we are here. First of all, over under 5.5. How many future NXT champions were in those bunny suits?
Over.
Yeah, I agree. I hope one of them was Cross.
One of them had me Bivens.
I mean, he's perfect for the role. But Miz and Morrison gave a poor live rendition of their hit song "Hey Hey Hop Hop." Like, the audio track was playing in the background while they were singing, and they were so out of sync.
Yeah, it happens.
At least they weren't lip-syncing, though. They were legitimately trying. Damian Priest came out. He exudes superstar in person, I could say that.
Does he?
Yes.
Does he have the same feeling that when we saw Velveteen Dream for the first time, how you felt?
Oh. Similar but different.
Similar but different?
Yeah.
Because when I saw that guy live for the first time, I'm like, I was entrapped by him.
Like, I wasn't mesmerized by Damian Priest, but I was like, this guy's a fucking... He has that... Dream would, like, suck you in. Priest just, like, that's a badass star right there.
All right. Fair enough.
Unfortunate it went down the way it did with Kareem, but fuck him.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you own his glasses, so.
And his shirt.
And his shirt.
It's a comfortable shirt, so I wear it.
Purple shirt.
I look like Grimace.
But yeah, kind of shocked they didn't give Damian Priest any pyro, because it seemed like everybody in this fucking card had pyro. I'd love to know what the pyro budget was.
A lot.
But then Bad Bunny got his big entrance. They showed him outside the stadium on a semi-truck.
I believe he was referencing Blade.
I think that's the theme of his whole album.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kurt was driving. He came in. He had a lot of pyro. These people were singing his song like he was Nakamura, except they knew every lyric. It was mesmerizing. Then the match began. And so I guess Meltzer reported the whole time that Morrison was the one that was hurt, but it wasn't. Priest was the one that was hurt. And it makes sense because Bad Bunny wrestled 75% of this match.
Yeah, he did.
Like, Bad Bunny put in a shift.
He did. He was great.
He was selling great. He sold better than half the roster, which I don't know if that's a compliment or an indictment or both.
It is both.
But he was selling his ass off. He wiped his feet getting in the ring.
Yes,
he
held, huge.
He held the tag rope. This man was like Cher of the 80s NWA. And I did not think I'd be saying that about Bad Bunny at the beginning of his run.
I was very pleasantly surprised.
Priest got a nice hot tag. They hit double broken arrows. I thought that was a good spot. I don't know why they both went for the pin. I don't even know who's legal at that point.
At least they didn't tag him from inside the ring.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But nothing but a home run.
They both hit big dives. Priest did the little flipping gimmick dive. And then Bad Bunny hit the crossbody onto both of them. And then Bad Bunny hit a destroyer, which, I mean, everyone went crazy about it, but in reality, Morrison's the one doing all the work in that move. But it's still impressive that they trusted him enough with Morrison to do that. I'm sure they've worked on it for weeks.
Yeah. And this match is indicative of The Miz and John Morrison.
Yeah, oh,
As much as it is. You want absolute
complete professionals? Yes. Yes, amen.
Those two guys.
I'm with you 100%.
Morrison's fantastic, and say what the fuck you want about The Miz, but that motherfucker is good at what he does.
I don't think anyone understands. We said this when he won the title. I don't think anyone understands World Wrestling Entertainment more than The Miz.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah. He was awesome in this match. No pun intended. Yeah, he was, no pun intended. But this, it's just unbelievably professional, those two, make him look that good.
Absolutely. And you could say they fucked it up the next night on Raw, because they kind of did.
Yeah, but whatever. I don't know what the fuck was happening there, but
it seems like they're doing a slow burn Morrison-Miz breakup, because like Morrison is acting like the fool, doesn't know what's going on with anything, and Miz is getting sick of him. I did love Miz's protest on Monday where he said he couldn't wrestle because he's in Gucci loafers. I could relate.
Well, as we know tonight, it doesn't stop you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But Bad Bunny got the win after him and Priest hit a Doomsday Device, and fantastic match.
Home run.
Yeah. And Bad Bunny put in the work for months, and he got them to promote his tour out of it. So it's a win-win for everybody. And if there were 25,675 people in that building, I would not be shocked if at least 6,000 of them came there just for Bad Bunny, because that man was over. Unlike another celebrity we'll get to the next night. But Bad Bunny was over, and I think at the end of the day, everybody respects him now. Like, how do you not? I think we need him and McAfee at Mania 38.
I agree. They're both fantastic.
Bad Bunny with Pat McAfee, and Shaq can be the special guest referee.
I'm in.
We got three, like, really good celebrity wrestlers in 2021.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know. People love it.
And now the main event. Say what you want. This is not a match where the build sucked. This might be the worst build to WrestleMania main event ever. But this match was awesome. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship of SmackDown. It went 17 minutes, 15 seconds. Basically, the whole story of the match was Sasha was using Bianca's hair against her. She'd pull it to ram her into the post. She'd drag her down by it. She was using Bianca's braid against her. Eventually, Bianca used the hair against Sasha in like a nice flip of the script. Left a big-ass gash.
I felt that. It made a great sound on TV.
No, it sounded like a shotgun in person.
Yeah, it was a great,
it was loud, bro.
It made a great sound on a TV.
It was loud.
And it cut her up.
Bianca hit a 450 after missing one earlier in the match. Then she hit the KOD, and I heard Michael Cole botched the call. I didn't see it yet once again, but oh, you didn't hear about this.
No, what'd he say?
You definitely weren't paying attention to the commentary. I'll find it. But anyway, Bianca Belair is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. The celebration was awesome. I saw her dad almost like jump over the barricade.
Oh, he was on top of it.
Yeah. Here is Michael Cole's call to finish.
What happened there?
Michael Cole apparently botched the finish. He claimed that Sasha kicked out of the KOD when in fact she did not. So that's kind of a shame, but it is what it is. The match ruled. In person, it was perfect. Sasha being happy, like trying to hide her smile as she was laying on the floor. It shows like how much this means to her, which is really cool.
She's done the first of everything.
Yeah. And she seemed legitimately happy for Bianca, and it was cool. It was just, loved it. Loved night one. Night one was awesome. And then we had to find our way back to our hotel. And Tampa Bay was not ready to host an event of this proportion.
Seems to be a reoccurring.
But bro, there is like no public transportation in Tampa. Uber is your only choice. There's no like subway. There's a bus, but I don't think it was running that late. So we had to walk like a mile and a half to an Outback Steakhouse to get within 2 miles of our hotel for a hotel shuttle to come pick us up.
Jesus, did you get a Bloomin' Onion?
I mean, it was like 1 a.m. Outback was closed.
Was there a better time to get a Bloomin' Onion?
They were closed. So now we move on to night two. Once again, it rained all day, but actually this time it stopped by the time the show started, which is good. No delay. The show started on time. Some country singer sang America the Beautiful. I forget who it was, but she did a good job. So we open with Randy Orton taking on The Fiend Bray Wyatt. And by the way, the opening pyro made up for the lack of the opening pyro at night one. So I'll show you the video of that, too. That shit was wild. So I'm the ultimate wait-and-see guy. And I had been saying wait-and-see with this program when we get to Mania. Maybe they'll do something cool. I'll get the positives out of the way first. Randy Orton's gear was fire. And Bray Wyatt resurrecting and the drones saying let me in were awesome. And I think a lot of people thought those things were like CGI. I know. They were literally flying drones above the stadium.
That's terrifying.
It was like, it was crazy. It was like wild. Like, because we were sitting like kind of in the middle. So like we just looked to our right and we see a bunch of drones flying up, getting in position to like spell out whatever they were spelling out. It was kind of wild. But Bray like resurrecting from the flames was cool. He came out of a box. As we know, Jim Cornette says anything that comes out of a box gets over. Not sure about the fucking this instance. I feel like this whole match was a rib on me because what I've been saying this whole time, I can't wait till we get people back so Alexa Bliss can stop transforming. And she transformed and I witnessed it.
It's a rib on you.
It had to be. The fucking Bruce Prichard was listening to the show and he said, "You don't think Alexa could transform in front of people, pal? Watch." Because I'm getting angry thinking. First of all, this had everything I hate. The fucking Fiend red light. I got to see that in person. That sucks. If you thought the Fiend red light's bad on TV, you should be there. You should be there living in the red light.
Oh no, I don't want the red light.
No, it's awful. The only time it was ever clever is when Seth put an Instagram picture and captioned it Roxanne.
And I tweeted that. He did that after I tweeted it. He's one of his burners follow us on Twitter. I tweeted that night, Mick Man, you don't have to put on the red light. And he fucking stole it. Fuck you and your new music.
His new music's awesome. I'm a big fan of his new music.
I do too. I am too.
So anyway, this sucked. There's no other way to get around. This sucked.
This is awful.
The crowd
were hopefully it's over, but it's not.
I mean, I think it's over with Randy, but now the feud has shifted to Alexa and Bray, which is one of the things that pisses me off. WrestleMania should be the end. It shouldn't be the start of another chapter.
I agree.
That is like my ultimate pet peeve.
100% agree.
And like the fact that they're calling this pay-per-view WrestleMania Backlash, and there's just going to be a bunch of fucking WrestleMania rematches on it, infuriates me. Like, WrestleMania shouldn't be another chapter. It should be the end.
I agree.
And I guess they're telling the story of Lilith, and that's why Alexa Bliss's doll is named Lily, because it's short for Lilith. And I guess Lilith in Jewish mythology is like the evil version of Eve from the Garden of Eden. And like fucking...
I didn't think we'd be going to the Jewish mythology book with this story.
Bray Wyatt has a fucked up mind. Who else is it? You think Bruce Pritchard is coming up with this? This is all Bray Wyatt. It has to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And like, yeah, I don't... Who wants to see this?
Is it Bo?
I'm thinking... Who's it going to... Is it Nikki?
No, because you see, does people think that Bray was Bo?
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yeah. Although you could clearly see his fucking neck tattoo, so unless Bray got a fucking neck tattoo, unless Bo got a neck tattoo to match his brother.
Is it Bo? Is it Nikki? I don't know.
Well, it's a girl. It's a girl. Maybe it's Santana Garrett because it has red hair. I don't know.
Is it Abaddon? I don't know.
Maybe she made the jump. I don't know. Who knows? Ivelisse just got let go. Maybe it's her.
Yeah, no controversy around that.
Anyway, I didn't like that. What do you think?
Yeah.
It was the shits.
Great entrance. Great presentation.
Best part was Orton's gear.
And then nothing.
He paid $20,000 for his family to see that. Did you see his... I gotta pull up his exact tweet because it made me laugh. Because, you know, Randy Orton's a king on Twitter.
He is. He's one of the best.
So he tweeted, WrestleMania, historic, one of a kind. Only here at WWE can you see the spectacle. Also, I was charged $20,000 for my family, wife and five kids, to watch Dad wrestle fight a demon and win!
He has the money.
And Ricochet replied, ha ha, with a little rock on emoji.
Not the closest he's getting to that fucking match.
Funny enough, the next reply is Randy Orton versus Ricochet. It's a match I'd like to see.
I would too.
You know what they really should do with Ricochet? Like, not all seriousness, not joking, any bullshit. Let him go down and tear it up with Kushida.
I agree.
That'd be awesome. He almost beat Kushida.
Yeah, I'm beat Kushida.
Up next, a match that was technically fine in the ring, but out of the 25,000 people there, I think maybe 10 of them cared about.
It was better on TV.
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler took on Natalya and Tamina. I will say, they were going nuts for Tamina by the end of this match. But I think it was like in an ironic, like, holy shit, Tamina never wins anything. I want her to win this. So, like, they were cheering for Tamina, like, pretty loudly. So, I don't know. What did you think of this one?
It was fine. It was absolutely fine.
I think technically the match was fine. I just don't think anyone cared.
That's fair, because I didn't really care.
I heard watching it on TV was, like, more entertaining because Nia kept cursing and Peacock kept trying to censor it.
Yes.
Censor it and missing.
Yeah, I'm the shit. I'm that bitch.
Yeah, I think the quote was, "You ain't shit. I am King Kong, bitch."
That's what it was, yes.
Which is hysterical. I haven't seen Kong versus Godzilla, but...
It was very good.
Maybe Nia Jax fared better than Kong in that movie.
Yeah.
So up next, a match I really enjoyed. I
loved it.
I wish I got another 5 minutes, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
It ended kind of quickly.
Sami Zayn with special guest Logan Paul taking on Kevin Owens. They got 9 minutes and 20 seconds. I love the match. They pulled out all the spots. Sami hit a brutal brainbuster on the apron. Kevin Owens hit like that, I don't even know how to describe it, like that cool like twisting suplex from
Fisherman's
the top
buster.
Rope. There you go, Fisherman Buster from the top rope. Sami hit the Luva kick, went for another one. He like Kevin collapsed in his arms. He put him back in the corner, went for another one. Then KO hit him with the stunner. Kevin got the victory. Logan Paul tried helping Sami up, but then Logan Paul turned to Kevin Owens. Raised his arm, and listen, I'll say this about Logan Paul. Like him or not, he understood his role.
He took a great bump.
He did take a great bump, and he tweeted the picture with him and Nate Robinson side by side afterwards, which is awesome.
He got it.
He did. He understood what he was there to do, and the people hated this man, and it was what it was, and he didn't ruin the match.
Nope,
so.
He did exactly what he had to do.
Yeah.
Having said that, I was thrilled for these two.
Yeah, it had to be a cool moment.
It did. I'm sure they went back and they hugged.
Up next, maybe night two wasn't as bad as I thought it was, because we had the Sheamus versus Riddle match. This was really good.
It was. Can we talk about fucking Sheamus being a king for a minute?
He had a cool drone shot with his cross.
He did. It was the best one of the night.
I have that on video.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah, I got to send it to me for later.
For jerk-off purposes, when you have
He's the Sheamus. Greatest wrestler on the fucking planet!
I did like that he wore his 18 seconds WrestleMania gear. That was a nice touch. Which also coincidentally happened to be the colors of the U.S. flag.
The finish was unbelievable.
Unbelievable?
Unbelievable. Did they show RVD?
Yes.
It was just fantastic.
The rolling
papers. The RVD rolling papers?
Yes.
That couldn't have been on the script.
I don't... They're from tobacco, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from tobacco. Completely legal.
Yeah.
The finish was awesome. It was basically the Ricochet, Adam Cole, Brooklyn deal. Riddle went for a moonsault. Sheamus caught him with the brogue.
Absolutely fucking crushed him, too.
Riddle was bleeding by the end of it.
Absolutely crushed
him. And Sheamus got the win and is the new United States champion.
And he deserves it.
We knew this match should be Sheamus and Riddle beating the shit out of each other, which is what they did, and it was great. I like this match.
Yeah, it was great. Sheamus just putting on banger after banger the last 3 months.
Yeah, and he's crying in Cesaro's arms.
Yeah, I don't understand that still to this day, but...
To this day!
Can't wait.
Up next, the Nigerian drum fight for the Intercontinental Championship. It was cool to see Wale. I've always been a big Wale fan. I think The Gifted is one of the most underrated albums of this generation.
I couldn't agree more.
He shouted out our boy Justin Davis in his little songs. That was cool.
Did he? I didn't hear him.
He said, he mentioned RNC, which is like their group. So this match was a fun little sprint. It only meant 6 minutes and 50 seconds. You know, a Big E match is going to be physical, and it starts with a suicide spear.
Yeah, he's going to hurt himself, but it looks great.
I thought the Feeding Tampa Bay gear was like very classy. He's auctioning it off with all the profits going to Feeding Tampa Bay, so that's cool.
Oh, this is hometown.
Yeah.
You never win your hometown.
He got the double negative. He had a live performance, and it was his hometown.
Yeah.
You're fucked. You're fucked, bud.
Oh, also, Bray tribute in Harper was unbelievable.
Great.
He hit the yeah. He said it, too. So
I should have said, when we were talking about positives of that match, we should have mentioned that, too, because that was great.
It's the first thing he did.
It's the first match he's had since Birdie died, which is kind of wild to think about.
Yeah, because that feels like forever ago.
Yeah, well, it was forever.
It was a Saturday before...
Saturday after Christmas.
Yeah.
Which was the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just wild that Bray hasn't wrestled in that long.
It doesn't feel like that long.
We got burnt to a crisp the week before, so I guess he was busy. Busy rehabbing or whatever demons do. But anyway, they used weapons early. Kendo sticks. Kendo sticks are allowed in person. I know that's not breaking news, but they were laying it in. There was a cymbal used, but no drums. And we got in an argument over this because I said there are no drums used in a Nigerian drum fight.
And a gong was used and a cymbal.
Those aren't drums.
They both are drums.
No, they're not.
Listen, I was percussion lead in our middle school band.
Listen.
And I was in charge of all of that. Listen. I played the drums. I played the cymbals. I played the gong. I played the xylophone. I played the bells. I played the wood blocks. I played the granite blocks. I played the timpani.
But listen, every drum is a percussion instrument. Every percussion instrument isn't a drum.
Fair enough. But
there were no drums used in this Nigerian drum fight.
Fair enough.
But there was Adaba Kato.
His name is General Aziz, and you will respect him. He was dressed like a fucking...
I think it's Comrade Aziz, isn't it?
Yes, it's what it is. I don't know.
Not even a general yet. He's just a comrade. He'll get there.
Yeah, better than a Conrad.
I don't know. He's got a podcast with Jeff Jarrett now.
I know. Who the fuck is going to listen to that, by the way?
Did you watch the trailer? It's like, I didn't think they could make Jeff Jarrett fascinating, but they did.
I'll have to. Yeah, interesting life.
Plus, like, a lot of the TNA shit I'd be interested to hear about.
Yeah.
But shout out to Conrad for killing the podcast game. But yeah, Adaba Kato came in, hit the Samoan spike, must have been a big Umaga fan, and then a big choke slam, and Apollo Crews pinned him as the new Intercontinental Champion, and who called this one? Your boy.
I pick Apollo too.
Yeah, after I did. I made it make sense for you.
You did. But I'm interested to see where it goes. Big E will probably get a bump up now. So
I would assume so. Maybe he'll be the next one to face Roman.
Maybe he'll win Money in the Bank.
I don't know what Money in the Bank is this year. Usually it's right after WrestleMania, but we got WrestleMania Backlash now.
And then June, probably. It's always in June.
No, it's usually in May, bro.
Are you sure?
Yes. Last year, it was right after WrestleMania because Becky gave up the belt.
You're right. Okay.
And it's been in May the last couple years because we all thought Brock was gone. And he came back a month later, Money in the Bank, and killed Mustafa Ali.
True.
Up next, Raw Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley taking on Asuka. Rhea Ripley, the first half of her live performance, there were issues with the mic, but it's not my genre of music, but that's a catchy little song, and it was cool to hear live.
It's a great intro.
And I have a buddy that really thinks Ash Costello is hot, which is the singer of the song, so...
I think that Rhea's hot.
I I have the same buddy who also thinks Rhea's hot.
Do I know this buddy?
Very much. You've played cornhole at this buddy's house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But he's off the market, so that's bad news for Ash Costello, I guess.
Yeah. Horrible news.
But these two just didn't have any chemistry. This match was kind of all over the place. Either one of
their matches, they just couldn't get it. They couldn't get it going.
Yeah, they just couldn't figure it out. I did like the finish of Rhea ducking the kick right into the Riptide, and Rhea's the new Raw Women's Champion.
The right decision.
Yeah, for sure. I feel bad for Asuka because she's kind of never had that WrestleMania moment now, and I get it. Like, everybody can't be everybody's turn all the time, but it just feels like the beginning of the pandemic, Asuka was one of the MVPs, and like, once they moved to the Thunderdome, she kind of got lost, and it's just a shame.
Yeah, it happens.
But I guess there's always next year.
And there will be. She's not going anywhere, so.
I don't know. That cup ramen deal might lure her away. Cup noodles.
Maybe. She's on YouTube now.
Yeah, she is. And the main event, Daniel Bryan, who got some slight boos. Guess people didn't want Daniel Bryan injected in this match. Okay,
back up. Listen, the best wrestler of fucking millennium is in a match and you hate it. Shove your fist in your own ass.
Jeez. Some people enjoy that.
If you do enjoy it, do something you don't enjoy.
Like watch a King Corbin match.
Like watch a Fast and Furious movie.
Nobody enjoys that.
While listening to a King Corbin match.
I feel like Fast and Furious is just like brainwashing like material where they just make you watch all nine of them.
They do. I guarantee it. I don't like any of them. I've seen them all. I hate them all. They're terrible. They're the worst movies ever made.
I won't argue. Edge, who was over as fuck. Edge was like so over. And I like how him and Orton had matching gear. Rated RKO lives. And then the Tribal Chief got booed.
Good.
But I think it was exactly that. Like, we're not booing you because we don't think you deserve to be in this position. We're booing you because you're a good heel and that's what we're supposed to do.
The opposite?
Yes.
Of what it usually is?
Yeah. I feel like it was like a respectful booing. Like, they did, like, they respect him so much, we're going to go along with it and boo this man. This match ruled.
It was awesome.
I hate main event Jey Uso, I will say that. I'm over him.
Where the hell is his brother? He's got to be done.
I think he's ready, but Jey Uso's in the main event. He's not ready to go back to the tag division because he knows WWE doesn't care about it. Although, speaking of that, good to see Ivar back.
Yeah.
For everyone's sake, including Eric, who's doing nothing.
Who's chasing R-Truth for the last 9 months.
Yeah. So this match was good. I like how Edge taking out main event Jey Uso with the DDT on the steps was the biggest pop of night 2.
Good.
It's awesome. Because nobody likes main event Jey Uso.
You do. You love him.
I don't.
You do.
I hate that he's main event Jey Uso so much. The double submission spot was cool. I like how they used the broken chair as a weapon. Edge teasing the concerto has got a big pop. Eventually he hit one on Bryan, but then Roman, main event fucking Jey Uso had to come back, of course. And then Roman hit a concerto on Edge, threw them both on top, stacked them up, and pinned them just like he said he would on SmackDown. And then probably the biggest fireworks display of my life happened.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And Roman Reigns is still the Tribal Chief, and fucking drones flew overhead and spelled out WrestleMania. It's the wildest shit I've ever seen. Glad I went. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You should have been there. It's great.
But overall, I thought it was a good show. Night 1 kicked ass.
Yeah.
Night 2 was kind of plodding, but it opened with a fucking... They killed it from the start.
Yeah, I think those first two matches killed anything Night 2 had going for. Until the main event.
Sheamus
people,
was good.
People were into that main event.
Yeah, it sounded like they were.
People were into that main event, for sure. But yeah, I think if they opened with Sammy and KO, the energy would have been different throughout the show. But I also get, like, if they were going to do what they're going to do with The Fiend and Orton, get that shit out of the way.
Yeah,
like, just get it done.
And you got to get that box out there.
Yeah, fuck. So bro, they were maneuvering with that box trying to get out of there for the next 3 matches. Like, you heard the forklift trying to back up with it. Because they're
All right, trivia question. Better or worse than last year?
I don't see how it could be worse. The atmosphere. Let's see, I can't fairly judge because I haven't watched it on TV. Like, I had a great time. I don't regret going at all. I think I definitely got my money's worth and I paid a lot of money. And I definitely don't feel let down or slighted or... I definitely feel like I got my money's worth. So the bigger question is, what do you do next year? Do you stick with the two nights or do you go back to the one night?
I think, I don't know what I would do, but I think they're going to stick with the two nights.
See, the only thing is, so this year wasn't an issue because it's socially distanced and like it was, we're in a pandemic. Let's just assume we're back to normal next year, right? We're in Dallas. If they do two nights, they have to sell 200,000 tickets.
They can do it.
I don't know, bro.
They might have, they might not put 200,000 tickets in there, but they'll sell 200,000 tickets.
I don't know, bro. That's a lot.
I don't know.
It worked here because basically you were getting the attendance of one Mania over two. I agree. It should be two nights. I just think at some of these giant stadiums, I don't know if you fill them for two nights because the ticket prices this year were exorbitant. Like, you're paying for two nights of Mania.
Yeah, I guess so.
I would rather them just cut it down to a single, like, one night, 4 or 5 hour show. None of this full work shift, 7-8 hour show bullshit. I would rather just one night, maybe 5 hours, including the kickoff show. Everybody doesn't need to be on the card. That's just my two cents.
I can agree with that.
But you think they're going to stick with the two nights?
I think they're going to stick with the two nights.
I hope they do, but I also think they look at that from a marketing standpoint and be like, although I think they'd love to say we put 200,000 people in AT&T Stadium, but I don't know if they could do it. And let's say you sell out one night and you have like 70,000 in another night. Is that considered a success or a failure?
You're right. You know
what I mean?
I get you. Logistically, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Not even logistically, just how to judge it.
Well, they're going to say they sold out no matter what. That's what they do. There weren't 103,000 people in Dallas, and there might have been 100. Yeah. There's no way there was 103.
And I've seen 103 before, and I don't know what that. I know what that looks like. Yeah. I've seen 107 before.
Yeah, yeah. You've been to fucking Beaver. You've seen games at Michigan Stadium. Like, yeah. Those are legit 100,000 crowds.
Yeah, and 100,000 is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
It's just people, as far as you can see.
And there were people hanging from the rafters from 32, but I don't know if they did not get 103. I refuse to believe it, but. That's the thing, like, two nights, and they got SoFi the year after that. It's another 90,000-seat stadium.
They can do it. They can make it look good, at least.
No, I have no doubts about that. Yeah. It's just, would you rather one night completely sold out, or maybe one night completely sold out and another night 60% sold out?
I don't know. I think we got to go one night now thinking about it, because it's been 2 years since we've had a WrestleMania. Let's face it, it wasn't a WrestleMania. That the whole big, long production, one story throughout the whole fucking night, it's something. It's the best. It's the best live event, maybe other than the Super Bowl, in the world, and it's close, and it's real close.
Yeah, it is close.
Just but like we said, not as even content of
not even yeah, not product, even like just the spectacle,
the production,
the spectacle,
the production. Yeah. They're the best production team people in the world. They put on a live show better than everybody else. So we talked about this.
That's another thing. I guess during the pre-show, they showed the Roman Edge. Brian video package. So they didn't show us the pre-show during the stadium. We're just sitting there. And I got three different texts from three different people about how good that video package was. And they finally showed it before the main event. That might be top five, bro.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was awesome. So good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go B for my grade for WrestleMania.
I was going to go B+.
And like, from a selfish standpoint, I'd like to see them stick with two nights. I think they're going back to one, though. That's kind of where I land.
Fair enough.
Oh, yeah, but that's it. I don't know what we got for you next week. We'll have something, so. Yeah.
Take it easy.
Thanks for joining.
Have a good night.
Yep.